It's good to be here. I want to share with you a thought this morning, God willing. I was listening to a tape the other day. It was made in 2009 in Georgia. And it was a sermon preached by a man that most of you know, Brother Gus Harder. And I was there and listened to it, but it didn't click too well then. And you usually don't get as much out of a CD as you do personal listening. But at the same time, it changed things for me, and I'm thankful for it. He mentioned, Brother Gus mentioned in his message of coming to Oklahoma City, and when Brother Ober Cummins was here, and he told Brother Cummins he wanted to see his library. And if you know what his library was, that's a joke, isn't it? No, it's not a joke. But anyway, Brother Cummins took him and showed him his library. It was in his bedroom on the nightstand. It was his Bible, a concordance, and a book on English grammar. That was his library. I think we would be wise to follow suit. I ask you to ask the Lord continually, if you will, to bless us together. We've been told already that Gideon's 300 were victorious because God was there, and they did what God told them to do. So I wonder who gave the victory. You follow me? And the reason he done away with all but the 300 was because those 32,000 would have claimed the victory, right? I know which number I'm in most of the time. In the 127th Psalm, most of you know what the first verse says, and I'm glad you know. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." I pose a question for you to consider. How in the world does the Lord build a house? Does he use people? Or do you wait on him to build your house? He uses people to build the house. He uses people to build the city. But he's the foundation of all their activity, right? They do because of him. Huh? And they do because they know he is right, and that their doing would not be right. Anyway, I hope you get the message. I don't know how to break this pot. If there's any light within, I didn't put it there. And yet at the same time, I know that God made clay pots for some reason. I think it's that he might minister through them to his people. I'm sorry, but I think we as a people in general have made a God out of the word preacher and have forgotten the word pastor, the word under shepherd, and remove the word overseer to become in control of. And those are sad things for me to think about. And I've been guilty in all areas too far. But I keep asking myself the question, how can we get back, or how can we get to a new beginning? Anyway, It was a long time before Job experienced his new beginning, right? And all of it was new, but when he got to the new, he was in good shape, wasn't he? So I want to try to talk to you a little bit about this morning about hope for the future, practice for the present, and discipleship. Now, it may or may not be in that order. I don't know what's going to happen. But I encourage you to pray. The question is, and this was what Brother Gus talked about. I can't preach his sermon. I sure can't preach it like him. But what I thought about as I listened to it, I made remarks about, change it to suit myself and go from there. He said, why do we read and study the Bible? Excuse me. Why do we read and study the Word of God? Huh? The mechanic shop has a Bible. You know what I'm talking about. But they don't have the Word of God as their guide at the mechanic shop, right? But what I'm saying is, do we need to read the Bible? Do we need to study the Bible? When the people in Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, sent me a letter that said, we have chosen you to serve us. Well, I found out that training for the military wasn't an hour and a half a week. You understand what I mean? And if we train to be a disciple in the service of God, hour and a half a week, we're going to flunk when the test comes, when the war is on. You understand what I'm saying? It has to start at ground zero for us to enjoy the greatest part of it all. Scripture teaches time and time again. For the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 6, a lot of other places, and in the New Testament, to teach the children. The apostle said, the things that thou hast heard of me, the same, not something else, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I know he was talking to a preacher, but it wasn't all just for preachers. Huh? The same that thou hast heard of God, share it, teach it. And if the nest is empty, practice it at home. Just you and her, or just you by yourself. Aren't the men that belong to God responsible to God to train their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? I think the best way we can do that is on a regular basis of reading and studying the Word of God. Could I tell you, you don't get too old to learn, and you don't get too young to learn. John the Baptist heard before he was ever born. Before his mama ever gave birth to him, right? Jeremiah heard before his mama ever gave birth to him. I'm saying there's always room for us to learn, even if we already know that we know it all. And if that's the case, we're in greater need than ever. So I'm saying that you might think, I don't have the ability. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or my kids are too young. Be that as it may, I believe the best thing we could do is read to the baby at conception. Is it not alive? If is it alive, can it not hear? Spiritually, if God has been there, that baby can hear and understand. No? Well, we're messed up, ain't we? If we don't believe that that baby can hear and understand by the power and presence of Holy Spirit God from the time of regeneration on, we've missed the bus. We've missed the opportunity to rear a family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm admitting to you that I'm too soon old and too late learning too little. But I'm telling you that you don't remember all the meals you ate at home, but you benefited from all of them. When you read the Word of God, you may not remember all you ever read, but God will see to your blessing, and you will be benefited by every meal you take in spiritually from God. So, we don't get too old to learn. We don't get too young to learn. But could I suggest to ministers here, do you read and study the Bible to get a sermon? Or do you read and study the Bible till a sermon gets you? And which way would the people be the most benefited? And which way would you be the most benefited? Would you be the most benefited by praying the same prayer every time? Would you be the most benefited by listening to your pastor preach the same sermon every time? Or would you love to have a pastor that reads and studies his Bible until seemed like every time he's always talking about something new? But listen, if you were reading and studying your Bible, it wouldn't be so new. And God help us. If there was ever a time when we need to know what God's Word says in history of this country and of our churches, it's now. If there was ever a time, and there was, and there is, I'm going to make a suggestion to you, those that still have companions with you. And I think it's a good suggestion. Every day, read the Word of God. Every day. Read all you can stand, and then read some more until you can stand. Read personally to learn what God would have you do, to learn what is right for you to do when you do it, and to learn how to share what He's blessed you with someone else. And then, on top of that private Bible reading and Bible study, make time, if you have one, to get with your companion and do the same thing. You know I'm not telling you what to do, because I couldn't if I wanted to. But I'm making a suggestion that if you don't practice that, you will be blessed by it, even if you don't understand or see it at the time. It's very interesting to me. But when you read the Word of God daily, because you feel the need of God's instruction, because you need the understanding that God gives, because you need the wisdom that God gives through His Word, Because you need to know who he is, what he is, what he's about, and what you're here for. We need to read his word to find out. I don't know the history of music, but the church went downhill when it left the songbook of the Bible. That's okay. It still did. We have a songbook in the Bible, right? Why did we leave it? For uninspired songs. I don't know. But I still think we'd do well if we could return. Anyway, it's a very interesting thing to me. But another thing that I learned not long ago, even though I thought I practiced it a little once in a while, it was a rude, revealing education to me. It said, you need to read the Bible until you know why each verse and how it's connected to the next verse. Are they no kin? I maintain that chapter and verse messed up Bible reading bad. I'm serious, a heart attack. You don't think the apostles put chapter and verse in it, do you? Huh? You ever see a letter with chapter and verse? What would it be like to read it as if there were no chapters and no verses? Each book. You'd be shocked at what you'll learn if you don't read according to human divisions in the Bible. But read the Bible the way God gave it to you and preserved it for you. And we don't have no additions, but we use them all the time, right? It's an interesting thing, but also we need to read God's Word because we need fellowship with Him. Don't we? Huh? If we've outgrown that, we're too big. Anyway, we need to read it that we might have joy, peace, and hope. In a day in which we don't have time to do that, that proves to us how badly we need to do that. Huh? Doesn't it? I'm not throwing rocks. I'm trying to say the only way I know for us to get back on track is to get off the wrong track and get on God's track. And we'll be ahead. And it'll be by God's grace. We'll be blessed in so doing. It's awesome to me. I'm not going to tell this for sentiment, though most of you have heard me say it before. My wife was a good teacher. She didn't have a degree, but she was a good teacher. I'm a slow learner, but I finally got a little bit of the message. Every morning, for about the last 20 plus years of our life, if we didn't have company and wasn't living somewhere else, Mom would get up, most of the time before I did, make her a cup of coffee, put some cappuccino in it, take it to her recliner, sit down and pick up her Bible and read. Sometimes that lasted for 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes it lasted for an hour. Sometimes longer. And time and again when I would be in the room or wherever I was, she'd holler at me. You know what that means. And say, Daddy, I need you to come in here. I'd go in there and she'd say, I've been reading here and it says this. Tell me what you think it means. In a way that I never imagined, those experiences drew me and her so close together that we never knew what closeness was before. Huh? It's a recommendation if you don't do it. Hmm? But if you can stand each other that long, see what would happen. Hmm? If you can give yourselves to the priority of God's Word, even when your children are with you. Hmm? If you can give it to them when you to God when your grandchildren are with you. Well, now you got a job there, ain't you? But if you can give yourself to the priority of God through His holy word and prayer, I maintain you can still have a great influence on your great-grandchildren. Huh? I recommended this to the folk at Hampton, Arkansas, at the little church there. Brother Wayne and Sister Frances Edrington came back a few weeks later. They said, "Brother Don, we don't understand it, but we've been trying to practice what you suggested. Even when our children come to see us, and they joined in with us." Huh? They didn't know what had happened to us that we started doing this. First thing. But they joined in with it, and it lasted and lasted and lasted. Is this not a starting place? Is this not discipleship? Is this not to the honor of God? And will it not build your house? And who would be building the house? Huh? It wouldn't be our decision, but it would be our trust in God for Him to build our house through us. Huh? Would that work? Huh? Does He build a church without people? Interesting, isn't it? Huh? He even used His Son and 12 other men to build the first New Testament church. Isn't that amazing? Well, I thought God did it all by Himself. We'd miss the blessing if He did. Huh? You say, "Well, it'd be our blessing to attend." Well, how come you attended? Hey, it starts with God, don't it? Anyway, I'm probably not making any sense. But read and study until you have compassion for others. And some having compassion, making a difference. One fellow said, "Read and study until the message gets you. Share the message with another, follow the pattern of the apostle, and first thing you know, there'll be little trees of God's own right hand planting everywhere." Isn't that amazing? It's interesting to me. Hmm? Did you ever have your heart broken? Huh? How'd you get it mended? Did you do it? Did the psychiatrist do it? Or did you look to God to do it for you? Lord have mercy. I could take the time, and I read one verse to you. We could read several others to you, but at the same time, it's like Brother Gus told in his sermon. He said, he asked a man one time, "What do you know about the book of the Revelation?" He said, "I don't understand it at all. But I know what the book's about." Y'all have heard this. He said, "We win." That's a pretty good lesson, ain't it? Won't that help you for your hope and your joy in all of your life? I want to encourage you to read it when you don't feel like it, to read it when you feel like it, and don't put a time limit on it, but stay with it. Not to get something, but until something gets you to the point that you say, "Dear God, if you have any use for me in this world, I'm yours. I'm the clay. You're the potter. Use me." I'm pretty well convinced of this. My greatest need is not for the Lord to help me, but for the Lord to use me. Is there a difference? Maybe. Maybe. I ask you, when the men wrote the scripture, was God using them? Is it to our benefit several centuries later? I think so. I wonder then how he could use men today. If they're disciples, God can use them, right? And he has power over the clay, right? Huh? Isn't that awesome? So, I'm recommending to you that you read it, study it, pray about it, ask God to bless you, and to teach you. And one of these days, somebody will ask you a question, and you'll share with them what the Bible said about their question. And you may not know how in the world you remembered that, but God knows. Huh? Would that be a better answer than "I think"? Would it be a better answer than "the preacher said"? Would it be a better answer than "our church believes"? If you gave them one straight from God's word. Huh? I know I haven't practiced what I preached this morning, but I thank you for your time. Encourage it. And don't knock it until you've tried it. Okay? I thank God for this place. I thank God for the location of this meeting house. Huh? It's where all can see. I'll tell you this little story and I'll quit. I heard Brother Ben Winslet say one time, he said, "I'm the man responsible for putting catchy phrases on our sign." Now, I haven't seen y'all's, but it may be here and I haven't noticed it. But he said, "I'm the man responsible for putting catchy phrases on our sign." He said, "I don't really like catchy phrases anyway." So he said, "I put out there on the sign." "Children, welcome." That has a lot of meaning, don't it? Huh? And even Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." How are they going to come? If mom and daddy teaches them what God's book says, they're coming. Huh? They're coming. That don't mean they won't ever stray, but they're coming. If we love them enough to teach them what God said. And if we can start that in the homes of our churches, your preacher will preach better. And you'll enjoy church more. And you'll love each other more if that's possible here at Oklahoma City. And you'll be blessed immeasurably in the experience. And when it's over, all you can say is, "Thank you, Lord." You won't be bragging on how much money you have in the bank or your security, and probably not even about your kids. But you'll be thankful that God built your house and kept it and kept the city that it was in. Isn't that amazing how it works? God bless you.